Good morning. Todd Zwillick here with Farai Chidea. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton meets with top Indian officials today in Delhi, including Prime Minister Manmohan Singh. It's part of her week-long trip to Asia, and it's also part of U.S. efforts to create a wider partnership between two countries that still struggle to overcome distrust rooted in those Cold War rivalries. Well, on the agenda is India's relationship with Pakistan, how to confront extremism, a possible nuclear arms deal in the works, and especially global warming, how to convince India that Western moves to curb greenhouse gases are not just a gambit to stifle rising economies like India's. Well, we're joined by Wall Street Journal contributor Linda Blake, who's been talking with people on the ground in Delhi. Linda, we talked a moment ago about substance versus fluff and everyday Indians' expectations for a visit from the Secretary of State on things like nuclear arms and things like greenhouse gas emissions and rising economies. What's the metric here? How do we tell the difference at the end of this visit between fluff versus substance?
I suppose beyond the handshakes, how many deals are actually implemented after the fact? And then looking forward, when she actually goes to Pakistan, or a U.S. representative does, is that same force, that same sort of statement that has been dispelled upon India being offered as well on Pakistani soil? For example, Hillary coming to India and explaining that we need to be hard on 2611, on those who have contributed terrorist atrocities against India. Justice must prevail. Is she also offering the same point of view in Pakistan, and thereby encouraging the government and entities there to be harsh on implicating those individuals directly involved who are associated with the LTE?
Do people appreciate, the people that you talk to on the street, do they appreciate the line that an American official like Hillary Clinton walks when she comes to India, has to condemn the hotel attacks in Mumbai and has to turn around the very next day and praise Pakistan for its fight against extremism? They don't like to hear Pakistan praised in many parts of India, but do they appreciate the line an American secretary of state has to walk?
I would have to say there is some appreciation, but there's an equal amount of skepticism in that Indian interests are first and foremost, and many say she's really just doing the Hillary hokey pokey, left foot in India, right foot in Pakistan, and that they feel really left out of the equation in essence. And your experts can talk a bit more about this with regards to AFPAC, with regards to India really being the center, the epicenter of all sort of terrorist activity in South Asia. It's embroiled at this point, and India wanting to, in effect, have a direct partnership and relationship with Hillary, in essence, be on the same team, and that there really isn't as much of an opportunity for that because, in your words, of the sort of line that she's treading, the back and forth between India and regions like Pakistan.
Well, I prefer your imagery of the Hillary hokey pokey, one foot in Pakistan, one foot in India. But is that a term that you came up with because you're creative, or are people actually saying that to you?
It's a term that I probably threw out because most people kept saying throughout the day, left foot in India, right foot
right,
in Pakistan.
Sure.
And I just pictured her turning herself around at that point.
Well, she's trying not to get turned around. Let's bring in Professor Brahma Chalani, professor of strategic studies at the Center for Policy Research in Delhi, and also Richard Wolf of The Daily Beast. He's a columnist. He's joining us. He's a political analyst for MSNBC, and he's a senior strategist at Public Strategies. Professor Chalani, the idea of the Hillary hokey pokey that we're talking about, but it's a serious point. One foot in Pakistan, one foot in India. Do Indian people who the Secretary of State is trying to impress, do they appreciate the line that this official is forced to walk given our interests in the region and the very tenuous state of our involvement with Pakistan and Afghanistan?
Hillary herself has a good image in India of being India-friendly, but under President Obama, U.S. policy on India has shifted. Under Bush, India was being looked at from the larger Asian geopolitical prism. But in the last 6 months, U.S. policy is looking at India increasingly from the AFPAC prism. Mm. And that has raised concern in India that India is being re-hyphenated with Pakistan. And that was the reason why Hillary Clinton did not stop in Pakistan on this trip. All previous visitors in the past 6 months who have been to India from Washington have stopped in Pakistan.
Right,
so
you make them equal. You travel, you make them equal, you show the world, and you show Indians and Pakistanis that it's a balanced trip, but she's not doing that this time.
Yeah, she's not doing that intentionally because she's trying to allay India's concerns. So in that sense, it was important for her to come to India. But she came to India 6 months after becoming Secretary of State, and there were questions being asked whether Obama is going to take India seriously.
Richard Wolff, I want to turn to you, the Daily Beast and MSNBC analyst. I want to ask you a question about carbon emissions and climate change, because the Secretary of State was with the Indian Environment Minister yesterday, and he made a very explicit statement, more explicit than you normally hear in diplomatic circles. I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, the answer is no, we're not going to curb carbon emissions because we're a rising economy and we don't want to be stifled. Did that strike you as much as it struck me?
Oh, yeah, this is the most difficult thing, frankly, even more difficult than the terrorist piece of this, because although India and Pakistan have their disputes, people know how to deal with this. The climate change has been stalled for such a long time, and the clock is ticking. They need a resolution, or at least the framework of a resolution, before they hit Copenhagen in December. The efforts to sort of come up with a successor to Kyoto, which never really went anywhere either. And India effectively scuppered the whole conversation at the G8 with China off scene as well. And it comes down to a sort of blame game. It's not just about sort of stifling growth. It's more subtle than that, which is India saying, well, you in the West, and especially the United States, were responsible for much of this global warming, so you have to do more. And while that balance of power or the blame game is still being played out there, it's a pretty tough haul for Secretary of State Clinton to come up with something close to a framework before December.
Professor Chalaney, you have written both about climate change and played quite a role in shaping India's nuclear policy. I want to ask about the weapons issue. What is it exactly, from your perspective as an individual with this experience, that you think the U.S. should be doing and Secretary Clinton should be doing specifically?
Right now, the two sides are actually about to sign an end-use monitoring agreement that would open commercial opportunities for U.S. arms companies in India. So that's an important step forward. But apart from that, the two countries are also engaged now in increased military-to-military cooperation. So the military relationship is going well, but they do have serious differences now on issues like China and the AFPAC strategy of President Obama, because the U.S. Policy on AFPAC basically is focused on the terrorist sanctuaries in Pakistan's western region, the area bordering Afghanistan, while the threat to India comes from the terrorist sanctuaries and the training camps on Pakistan's eastern border with India. And U.S. policy isn't really focused on those issues. And the Indians are trying to persuade Washington to have a more holistic approach to the terrorism problem in Pakistan.
Well, Linda Blake, Wall Street Journal contributor, I want to bring that question to you. Has the Secretary tried to convince Indians that there's a nexus in interest there? We're obviously trying to fight extremists in Pakistan, and have we successfully convinced Indians yet that our fight against extremists in Pakistan is the same as their fight?
I think the overall insight is India is sort of in a strategic point, whether you look at Indonesia and that prospectively being in an Al-Qaeda training ground, or you look at what's going on in Pakistan with the LTE. And I read on a Facebook wall, in fact, an Indian friend of mine, he basically wrote, look, India, we're just waiting for our next terrorist attack. And the fact is, India is the perfect place strategically to have one terrorist group or the other act out a dress rehearsal for future attacks on the Western world. So you're sort of looking at this place as the training ground, as the boot camp. And in that regard, on many Indians' minds, they're thinking, okay, we need to collaborate because we both have common enemies. I just want to give you one other story. I was with a street vendor, and usually I'm asked in this country, which country, madam, which country are you from? And when I said America today, what he basically said is, you know, we're on the same team now. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, you know, we've both been struck. Yeah, we've both been struck by enemies on our home territory, on our home ground. So we need to work together.
Richard Wolff, Daily Beast, can we bring Indians onto our team, being on the same team now, without alienating Pakistan at this critical time?
Well, it's tough because of regional rivalry, and it's obviously a new situation given the thaw in India's approach to the West generally. But I do think that there is an awful lot of common ground if the two sides, India and Pakistan, can set aside their regional rivalry and see the common interest they have. And most particularly, you know...
But Richard, does making arms deals real quickly, does making arms deals with India at the kickoff of this week help that situation? It's going to alienate the Pakistanis.
They're both getting arms deals. That's the truth.
Thank you.
If you get them both to sit down as they did in Egypt last week, the question is, are they talking to each other or at each other's home constituencies? And that's the key thing.
All right. Richard Wolff of The Daily Beast. He's also a political analyst for MSNBC and senior strategist at Public Strategies. We were also joined by Professor Brahma Chalani. He's a professor of strategic studies at the Center for Policy Research in Delhi. And, of course, Linda Blake, Wall Street Journal contributor who's in Delhi. She's stationed there, played us some great sound from the streets of Delhi and giving us a sense of how Indians are approaching Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's visit to India. She's trying to advance U.S. interests on greenhouse gases and nuclear arms. Thank you all for joining us. You put your left foot out, you put your left foot in, and you shake it all about.